blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, host of the program, joined by the Corner Contingent. He's not a bookie, but yesterday he played hooky. But today he's right across from me in the studio. My man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa is back with us today. And in the screening room, we have producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated. Y'all know what it is, the real J Mac, Mr. Jeff McIntosh. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to make that move with intentionality, recognizing the primacy that God places on the family, allowing that reality to guide and to govern your engagement, moving you to take full advantage of what you have the privilege and opportunity to do, starting right in your own homes. That is to advocate for the fulfillment, or should I say to execute, that's a better way to say it, to execute our King's Commission. The King's Commission, or the Great Commission, is to go into all the world, making disciples of all nations. We have the opportunity to begin that right in our own homes. You never know what the result will be. I was reading an account earlier today from Wayne Grudem and how he was involved a long time ago. He knew his wife was involved in the gospel being proclaimed to a young fifth grader. Little did they know that fifth grader was Charlie Kirk. She was involved in Charlie Kirk coming to faith in Christ, having no idea what the result would be from that downstream. That is just an illustration of the reality of what's available to us. And as I often encourage you, man, to live life from heaven down, you know, not to allow our temporal station to manipulate us away from what we know to be true, but to recognize that this world and its fallenness and its systems, you know, it has big eyes and little U's. There's celebrities and all of that. Ain't no celebrities in the kingdom of God. You know, the Lord ain't sitting in heaven, ooh, let me see what the harpies on The View are saying today. Better believe you me, sonny, he ain't doing that. Well, Bobby said, hallelujah, pass the plate. Hallelujah, pass the plate. Oh, I'm so glad about it, aren't you? Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you glad? But the Lord's desire is for each member of his bride, each joint to supply, for every joint to supply. And that should be our commitment. So as you're making your transition, and I say this, and I know I say it daily, but I mean it with every fiber of my being. We must resist the temptation, the worldly temptation, to spend ourselves everywhere only to offer our homes and more specifically, our family members. As a husband, I'm talking about me offering my wife and my children the leftovers of a day well spent. You know, we're too tired to be fully engaged at home. Physical presence must be accompanied by functional presence. Because what goes on in your house, in my house, is far more important than what goes on in the White House. It's far more important than what is or is not happening on Capitol Hill. And it's incumbent upon us to understand that and to respond accordingly. To the word of God we go. Proverbs chapter 8. I want to go back there. One of my favorite chapters in the scripture. Because the scripture reveals something that sometimes it could be hard for us to digest. But just because it may be difficult to digest doesn't mean that it's not true. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the scripture says this: the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. You go further in the same chapter, look at verses 35 and 36. The scripture says, for whoever finds me, here wisdom is being personified. So you have anthropomorphic qualities being offered to wisdom, and wisdom is standing really as God. For whoever finds me, meaning wisdom, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. Now, this is something that may be hard to stomach, but it is nonetheless true. The scriptures bear it out. And as I say this, you're going to say, I know people that fit in that category. There are people in our communities. Sorry, I had to sneeze. There are people in our communities, guys, who hate wisdom. Oh, Abe, that's a strong statement. And just. First of all, the scripture says, all who hate me, referring to wisdom, love death. There are people among us who hate wisdom. Well, the scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are some who hate the fear of the Lord. As a result, there are some who hate wisdom. Now, those who hate wisdom, I don't think they understand the full scope and implications of that disposition. Because here, the proverb writer is making a great physician diagnosis. All right, this is, you're not going to get this from Health and Human Services Department. You're not going to get this from your Healthy You checkups. This is a great physician diagnosis. All who hate wisdom, this is what the great physician says, love death. Just marinate on that a bit. All who hate wisdom love death. What are some indications that there could be a present hatred of wisdom? Well, go back to verse 13 in Proverbs 8. God himself says the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So to fear the Lord requires, the corollary ingredient to fearing the Lord is hating evil. That's right, Sister Pamela. Only a fool says in his heart there is no God. A fool. And our nation is filled with educated fools. Or dare I say, academically inclined fools. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. People say, God is love, you should hate anything. Well, no, yeah, God is love. And he requires me as a follower of his to hate evil. What's next? Pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. And the way of evil. That's right, Sister Tabitha. There is a cultural epidemic. There is a palpable critical mass in our society who love death. Who love death. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil. Those who fear the Lord should despise these things. And not only that, perverted speech. Now, when the scripture talks about perverted speech, it's not only talking about people who say things that are perverted, but it's also people who use their mouths to advocate for ideas, for practices that God declares to be perverted. And so these are things, pride and arrogance, people who are comfortable with the way of evil, those who are advocates of or purveyors of twisted or perverted speech. These are characteristics and features of people who very well may qualify for verses 35 and 36. The one or the ones who hate wisdom. When we think about and we talk about being engaged, even people who will talk about civic engagement, what exactly are we discussing? There is a consistent effort to try to kind of neutralize what is happening here. But the scripture told us, man, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I am not trying to sensationalize anything. But the reality is that spiritual reality is real. You've heard me say politics is the externalization of one's theology. That's the truth. That's the truth. Look, zoom out. I'm not saying everybody categorically, but zoom out. The majority of the people who are comfortable with abortion, the majority, are people who have an atheistic or agnostic inclination, generally speaking. People who seem to be okay with the entire panoply of the sexual deviancy sociopolitical agenda, which is interesting. I guess I'll probably have to do a show on this later. But there's a concerted effort right now. People who would identify themselves as LGs and Bs, they don't want to be associated any longer with the IAPs and the pluses. Guys, this is happening. They're starting to form their own organizations. They don't want to be lumped in together. Now, if you've been listening to the show and following me for a while, you know that this isn't something that is shocking because the logic doesn't track. You know, the T's say there's no such thing as a B. You get what I'm saying? The T's say everything is fluid. It's a spectrum. So you cannot have a binary if it's a spectrum. But the ideology, though, usually is representing the people who have a disparate understanding in relationship with or to God. Oftentimes, people have been hurt in lots of ways. But to get back on this, I want to invite you to consider biblically the reality that the scripture says that there are some people who hate wisdom. As a result of hating wisdom, there are people who love death. Now, I know that's strong, and those words can be very, very, very provocative. I know that. But I want you to consider them biblically, not merely rhetorically or culturally or socially, but to consider them biblically. And not only consider the rhetoric, but consider the actions. When you say, Abe, are you telling me there are people in our society who love death? Before you respond, take a survey of what's happening. There's certain efforts to popularize behaviors. If they continue, that would lead to the annihilation of human civilization, of humankind. There are many who may not have children of their own, but they have no problem telling you what to do with your children. And in fact, you should allow them to sexualize, to mutilate, to chemically castrate your children. What purposes? For their titillation and pleasure? It's sobering, and I know it's provocative, but the scripture says there are some who hate wisdom. Those who hate wisdom love death. What is wisdom? Proper application of knowledge and information. What is a product of wisdom? Human flourishing. What is a result of a rejection of wisdom? The opposite of human flourishing, also known as death, poverty, destruction, chaos, degeneracy, men doing right what is right in their own eyes, men becoming wise in their own eyes, working that which the Bible says, which is unseemly, and suffering the consequences as a result.
Bye. A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Genesis is a wonderful, powerful, and supernatural book. It's the book that begins to answer our questions about God. People ask many questions about life, real questions that they wish to get answers for. Questions such as, where did we come from? Who created us? Who created the world? Who created the universe? What is the purpose of life? These are only a few of many legitimate questions that people often ask. If you'd ask many scientists in our culture today, what are some of your main goals and what is your purpose in studying science? We're trying to find out who we are and where we came from. The Word of God has answers, many, many answers. It's God's Word that gives us answers to all of our questions. He, of course, has answers that no one else would even begin to have.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. You tell me whether or not this qualifies for those who love death. A couple weeks ago, and I had this in my stack to get to, I just didn't get to it in time. A couple weeks ago, a man who identifies himself as a Christian and is involved in his local community. His name is Ted Barham. Ted Barham. He happens to live in Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan is about 20 to 30 minutes outside of Detroit, Michigan. Ted Barham appeared at a city council meeting to object to the renaming of a street, in particular, the street was named Warren Avenue. Well, the powers that be had decided to rename Warren Avenue in Dearborn, Michigan, after a man by the name of Osama Ciblani. Osama Ciblani is an American of Lebanese ancestry. Well, at least that's what he calls himself. And he is the founder and publisher of a journal, a publication called Arab American News. Yeah, David Dearborn. Oh, dear. Is right. Osama Ciblani has been known to support and in some instances advocate for terrorism domestically and internationally. I'll give you some of Ciblani's greatest hits, pun intended. He's quoted as saying that, quote, the blood of the martyrs irrigates the land of Palestine, end quote. He said terrorists should strike, quote, he said, terrorists should strike them with knives and with their bare hands and use rockets over there, end quote. Here's another one of his quotes. Quote, whether we are in Michigan and whether we are in Jenin, believe me, everyone should fight within his means. They will fight with stones. Others will fight with guns. Others will fight with planes, drones, and rockets. Others will fight with their voices. And others will fight with their hands and say, free, free Palestine, end quote. Now, some have said, oh, Ciblani's words should not be used to refer to any support for violence. Oh, no, this is you. You're misunderstanding Ciblani's quotes if you think that this is advocating for violence. You know, when he says things like, let me get back to the quote. When he says things like, you know, some they will fight with stones and others will fight with guns. Others will fight with planes It's not like we had an issue with planes or 9/11 or anything like that. Get back to the quote. Others will fight with drones and rockets. I'm sure that's all allegorical, you see. Well, Warren Avenue in Dearborn, Michigan, with great celebration and fanfare, was being renamed after Osama Ciblani. Ted Barham appeared before the city council to say, this is America. I don't think we should be supporting terrorists. Or let me say, not terrorists. Ciblani is not himself, as far as we know, a terrorist. But he sure seems to have a lot of support for terrorism. Now, how would you expect an objection like that to be received in front of a city council in an American city? So you guys are quick. Say, oh, Abe, is Dearborn an American city? Yes, it's a city in America. But that provokes the question. Is a city in America synonymous with being an American city? Isn't that a question worth pondering? Well, when Ted Barham offered his objection to Warren Avenue being renamed, I want you to hear how Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud responded to Ted Barham. Clip number one. Listen to and watch. Clip one. Go.
I mean, Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel it's quite inappropriate.
You're an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know, as mayor, you're not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city, because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
Y'all hear that? See, one of the things that Ted Barham brought up in his presentation is that Ciblani was a passionate, feverish supporter of Hezbollah. He went on in his comments to say, I mean, you might as well rename Warren Avenue Hezbollah Street or Hamas Street if you want to put this dude's name on it. That's how the mayor responded to him. The mayor responded to him by saying that, well, you live in this city, but you are not welcome in this city. Think about that. Think about that. You, due to your objection to the street being named, in Barham's perspective, you might as well call it Hezbollah Street or Hamas Street. And the mayor's response is, you are not welcome in the city. Then, did you notice the personal tone that the mayor took? You live in this city, but you're not welcome here. And when you leave, he didn't say if you move. Did you hear that? Did you notice that? He said, when you move, I will order a parade to celebrate your departure. In 2023, Dearborn became the first Muslim-majority city in the United States of America. And y'all stick with me, because I'm going somewhere with this. Not only for this particular story, but I'm going to connect it to something else as we go through the show today. Now, Ted Barham, I did a little digging on him. He's consistently advocated for peace. Consistently. Where he drew the line is for the city to openly celebrate terrorism. Mm-hmm. This Osama Ciblani, during a Nakba Day rally in 2022, he declared that Dearborn, Michigan's Muslim community would, quote, lift Palestinians all the way to victory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yet, because he had the audacity to say, I don't really want a street in my city named after a dude who supports Hezbollah and who supports Hamas. Then we'll go a little further. At another city council meeting, You had a brave woman by the name of Andrea Unger. So somebody get some extra ice and a new fan because Bobby has turned. He's about to pop, it looks like, over here. Andrea Unger had the audacity, this was a few days ago, guys, to appear at another city council meeting in Dearborn. This time, objecting to what she argues, and I pulled up the statute, the municipal ordinance, is a violation of Dearborn Municipal Ordinance Section 13-43, the general noise regulations that prohibit the loudspeakered Muslim call to prayer between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. Well, Andrea Unger says people like me are routinely being awakened at 5 a.m. by this Muslim call to prayer, but this is a violation of local law. Listen to and watch clip number two. Clip two, go.
But the mosques in East Dearborn are now at times waking us up at 5:30 in the morning with the call to prayer.
This is Dearborn resident Andrea Unger at last night's city council meeting stating that mosques using outdoor loudspeakers for their call to prayer should not be allowed. And says she believes it's not supposed to be allowed per city ordinance.
The noise complaints have been made out and the police have made numerous visits. What is the next step?
There was some question whether or not any outdoor loudspeakers are allowed, something that was not clarified, only that more evidence is being gathered. But CBS Detroit did examine Dearborn's noise ordinance and found that loudspeakers between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. are in violation of the ordinance.
I forgot to mention that the Dearborn mayor, what's his name again? I had his name here. Yeah, Abdullah Hamoud is a member of the Democrat Party. Isn't that rich? Isn't that interesting? This woman had the courage to come out and say, hey, I'm not saying that the call to prayer in and of itself is problematic. It just shouldn't be blasting at 5 a.m. Now, I don't know if you all have experienced this. I experienced this when I went to South Africa. South Africa has the largest number of Indians outside of the nation of India, in any nation. And there are a pretty significant contingent of Indians who are also Muslim, okay? So I experienced this firsthand in certain townships in South Africa. Section 1343 of the Dearborn Municipal Code says this, quote, people are prohibited from creating a continuance of any unreasonably loud, disturbing, unusual, or unnecessary noise which annoys, disturbs, injures, or endangers the comfort, repose, health, peace, or safety of others within the limits of the city, end quote. Section 1342 of the same statute identifies nighttime in which this noise is prohibited as being between the time periods of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. The council president, Mike Serini, said police are investigating and they gather decibel levels from mosques during the prohibited times and they found instances of violations of the city ordinances. And again, I want you to evaluate this in the broad scope of the biblical assertion of those who hate wisdom. Consider history. During this meeting, it wasn't until after the meeting and after media began to put attention on it that the city council president said the statements I just shared with you. During the meeting, if you watch the entire meeting, the city council pretty much ignored this woman. Kind of almost like, get out of here. Get out of here. I wonder what it would look like if, you know, Christians went into certain cities and certain countries and started telling the locals, you know what? You're not welcome here. I wonder what that would look like. I wonder how that would go. Oh, I guess we have an immediate case study. Nigeria, anyone? We've been talking about what's been happening in Nigeria. I'm not going to go to a story on that right now, but I will later in this program. But we've been talking about that. One of the major reasons why we've been talking about what's happening in Nigeria, because I hear from you all, and you say, this is one of the only programs that you heard about the genocide that's happening there. Continuing on. Oh, man, we're about to hit the break. I'll start this now, and I'm not going to carry this over the break. Continuing on with the notions of those who hate wisdom, love death. Now, we are firmly entrenched in the administration of the 47th President of the United States of America. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department. Dr. Martin McCary is the Commissioner of the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Nevertheless, this week, Tuesday specifically, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration quietly approved a new generic version of the abortion drug mifepristone. The drug is produced by Evita Solutions, LLC. And Evita Solutions' mission, this is their company mission, to, quote, normalize abortion and make it accessible to all. As I am talking to you, the trend in our nation has moved away from surgical abortions, but 63% of the babies who are killed before they're born in our country now are being killed through chemical abortions, through the ingestion of drugs like this. The mifepristone drug, and this is the FDA approving a generic version of it, causes the immediate cessation of the unborn child's ability to continue to be nourished. There's a second drug that's used to induce premature labor to eliminate, or should I say, to have the murdered baby to be ejected from the mother's body. This happened in President Trump's FDA. This happened. Y'all know I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. Why is the FDA under Commissioner Martin McCary approving a generic version of this death cocktail? This just happened this week. Very quietly. Well, I'm not going to be quiet about it. Those who hate wisdom love death. And this has happened since the Biden administration changed the rules to allow these murder cocktails to be distributed through the mail without the need for a physical in-person doctor consult.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
There's a way for us to pray, and I like to think of this at the beginning of each day. There's a way for us to pray that the priorities of heaven will become the priorities of earth, that the priorities of God will become the priorities of each one of us.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Prayer, the Great Adventure, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Equal opportunity truth teller. And I'm sharing this with you guys, one, obviously to keep you informed, but two, so that we can know how to pray and how and where we need to engage. Those who hate wisdom love death. It's remarkable to me that Evita Solutions and those who say this is all about helping women and health for women, You think it's helpful for women to be dispatched this murder cocktail through the mail with no need to have an in-person doctor consult, no need for a sonogram to say to be able to identify perhaps ectopic pregnancies? Can you imagine what will happen? You don't have to imagine what would happen to a woman who might have an ectopic pregnancy, but yet who ingests this chemical murder cocktail. It's egregious. I've said it before, and we've seen it happen before. I support President Trump, but supporting him means calling out things that are wrong. And I have seen, I've experienced, especially like during the campaign, he made some statements that were imprudent concerning the sanctity of life issue, and he made an about face. But he needs to know this is unacceptable. Senator Josh Hawley, in response to the news that the FDA has approved a generic version of mifepristone, he put out some tweets on the artist formerly known as Twitter on X. Would you put them up on the screen, Jeff, please? In which he expressed his disappointment that the FDA has done so. He put this out earlier this afternoon today. This is Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri. Quote, this is shocking. FDA has just approved another chemical abortion drug when the evidence shows chemical abortion drugs are dangerous and even deadly for the mother. And of course, 100% lethal to the child. He put out a subsequent quote, a subsequent post. Quote, FDA has promised to do a top to bottom safety review of the chemical abortion drug, but instead they've just green-lighted new versions of it for distribution. I have lost confidence in the leadership at FDA, end quote. That's what Senator Josh Hawley posted today at 12:24 p.m. following the news that a generic version of this drug was just approved by the FDA. But where does this all flow from? It comes from a fundamental rejection of divine truth affirmed by science that a person is a person before they're born. You know, it's laughably sad to see people try to defend the slaughter of innocent children in the womb by saying that they're not a person until they're born. That's just insane. We've had the science for decades now that shows us proof otherwise. So then why is there such a consistent press for, right? We know it's a child. We know it's a child. We go through the Jedi mind tricks, fetus, not a baby, you know, using Latin terminology. Y'all heard me talk about all of this before. But why is there a consistent press for it? Scripture told us those who hate wisdom love death. People who hate wisdom have no problem with murdering for convenience. That goes for the thug on the block that's a drug dealer, murdering for the convenience of continuing to have money generated because you don't want to have to deal with the market forces of a rival drug dealer. It goes for the, you know, she who should never be president's daughter. What's her name? Her daughter? Chelsea Clinton statement that, oh, yeah, women need abortion because look how much money they're able to generate as a result of not being, as Barack Obama said, punished with the baby. Punished with something that God says is a blessing. I am by no means insensitive to the difficult circumstances that some children are conceived in. I am personally aware of that. But what does it have to do with the baby? People who hate wisdom love death. The scripture told us the love of money is the root of all manner of evil, all forms of evil. It's sad to say things have devolved to such a degree in our country that many people have lost faith and confidence in Congress and our media and things of that nature. Well, you have a regressive, self-described atheistic comedian to call out something that is just obviously true. Not too long ago, Bill Maher was on his show in highlighting the discrepancy between people that are talking about, oh, it's genocide in Gaza. don't have not a peep to say about what's happening in Nigeria. Because I'm just going to cut right to the chase. It's not genocide. It's what's happening in Gaza. It's remarkable to me. People continue to forget, oh, October 7th never happened. That they serve proved that. They serve proved that. That never happened. It's sad. Bill Maher called out public zealots and the lying media. Say, why don't people know about this? That's happening right now. Over 100,000 Nigerian Christians have been killed since 2009. If you listen to this show and follow the show, you knew that. That's not novel information for you. Because we've been talking about that for quite some time. But for some reason, nobody's on TikTok draping themselves in Nigerian flags and coming up with you know, fake tears. Oh, it's so sad. What's happening? None of that is happening. I wonder why. Listen to Bill Maher call it out and watch. Clip number three. Clip three. Go.
Nigeria. I mean, The fact that this issue has not gotten on people's radar.
Right. No one's talking about it.
It's pretty amazing. If you don't know what's going on in Nigeria, your media sources suck. You are in a bubble. And again, I'm not a Christian, but they are systematically killing the Christians in Nigeria. They've killed over 100,000 since 2009. They've burned 18,000 churches. This is so much more. These are their Islamists, Boko Haram. This is so much more of a genocide attempt than what is going on in Gaza. They are literally attempting to wipe out the Christian population of an entire country. Where are the kids protesting this?
Yeah. Thank you. No one will talk about it, so thank you.
Absolutely.
Those who hate wisdom love death. Now, first, I truly pray that Bill Maher's eyes are opened, that he comes to faith in Christ, that the hardness of his heart concerning the Lord and the scales in his eyes will be removed. And yet, even as a non-Christian, he's able to identify this. Why don't people, first of all, know about what's happening in Nigeria? Secondarily, why don't they care? You want to talk about genocide? You want to talk about genocide? I reported to you a couple weeks before Bill Maher did this show. Just in this year alone, as of August of this year, over 7,000 people have been killed this year. This year. Over 7,000 more displaced as of August. This year. We don't see any marches for that. Now, after the Hamas terrorist attacked civilians, innocent civilians in Israel on October 7th, you had marches, you had protests, you had regressive college students shutting down college campuses in favor of the terrorists. You got a mayor in Dearborn telling a Christian citizen he's not welcome because he don't want a street named after somebody who supports Hamas and supports Hezbollah. But we have palpable evidence of what's happening in Nigeria. With Boko Haram. Do you realize there's an ISIS organization, an IS organization that is in Africa? Islamic State in Africa? Do we realize that? And again, I know you guys who listen to this show, y'all know about it, so I'm not telling you nothing. You don't know. But many of you, if you told me, your friends and loved ones have no clue this is happening. 18,000 churches burned. 18,000 churches. I shared video last year of a Nigerian pastor whose church was burned down. And he met with some of the church members who survived the burning, where they had church members who were murdered. And they showed up the next Sunday in a burned out church singing and worshiping the Lord. You want to talk about courage? This was long before Charlie Kirk took a bullet to the neck. I present this to you because the word of God is true. When the Bible says there's some who hate wisdom, and the corollary attendant reality is it's because they love death. as long as the death favors their pursuits, their objectives. I did an entire show, Regressivism in Our Society. It's not a strange or foreign to violence because it's a tactic that is utilized by regressives to assert and advance their agenda. So I'll reoffer the question, why? Why aren't there any protests? Why aren't there any protests in our nation about this? Why is nobody taken to the streets? You know, why aren't the young folks in our nation whipped up into a frenzy over the genocide, real genocide, real murder, real efforts to destroy the entirety of the Christian witness in the country? Document it. Repeat it. I'm going to say it again. 18,000 churches burned since 2009. Within the last 16 years, that's over 1,000 churches a year being burned. 100,000 people killed. That's not the people that have just been injured. That's the people who have been murdered. Shouldn't be surprised. It's the same society that's willing to slaughter innocent children in the womb. The whole point of this, yes, to keep you informed, but to make sure you're aware of how to pray. Guys, this is spiritual. This is not merely natural. This is spiritual. To have this coldness, this calcified heart disposition. It bothers me. All of these people who claim, oh yeah, we're the most altruistic and compassionate, won't say a word. Haven't said a word. And I get it. Some people honestly who truly do not know. Do not know. But there's some who do know and won't say a word. I'm going to go back to the way I started this show. Proverbs chapter 8 is where we began the program. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Guys, I would just say it very plainly. A significant component of being a Christ follower is hating evil personally. Now, before anybody gets misconstrued in what I'm asserting here, the foundation for this hatred of evil starts in us first. That we loathe our own sin. It's not because we don't address other issues, but we're not. The first stop for that hatred of evil is internally, which is why we surrender ourselves to the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ for those of us who are saved. For those who are not yet saved, wisdom requires you to welcome the judgment of your sin now so that you don't have to face a great white throne judgment. As we live in the reality, as Matthew 7 lays it out, we address the logs in our own eyes so we're able to see properly to aid our neighbors with the speck in their eyes. And what we build in our families and our societies comes from that reality. The fear of the Lord is a hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted speech. Whoever finds wisdom finds life. This is in verse 35. And obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find wisdom injures himself, destroys himself. And all who hate wisdom love death. We are living in a time when the clash of worldviews reveals that there are some among us who love death.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.